You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, March the 16th, and happy St. Patty's Day to everyone. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here. Is it St. Patty's Day? 16th?
No, 17th. I screw that up usually.
Okay, so the 15th is not St. Patty's Day, nor is the 16th.
No.
Okay. I saw a friend of mine, I don't think we're going to use any of this, but I saw a friend of mine on Facebook that she sent her kids to school in green on Monday and was like, hey, go to St. Patty's Day and then whatever.
Yeah, for my entire life, whenever March 15th comes up, I've thought that was St. Patrick's Day. I've never been able to nail it down the 17th. My St. Patrick's Day tradition is on the 15th, remembering it's not St. Patrick's Day.
We're going to keep all this. This is host Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm Brother Brian, and I don't think the Pistons found any luck of the Irish today either.
Happy St. Patty's Day to everyone today, tomorrow, whatever day you choose to celebrate. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Pistons lose on Monday night. Brother Brian's got the details. We got trade rumors as well, just 9 days until the March 25th trade deadline. Nothing better than trade rumor season. And there's also a new Piston. Brian's got the details on a 10-day deal to see if this young man will be here for long in Detroit or not. Either way, we're going to give you the skinny on what's up with the new guy. Give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Matt Shook. Give Brother Brian a follow on Twitter at @BShook12, and also the play. Oh, can't say that. Got to skip that one as well today too. I think we're still on probation for that. But Brian, the Pistons, a little tough opening to the Locked On Pistons podcast today for your boy. I promise I have not hit the whiskey tonight, as far as you know. So Pistons dropped one on Monday. I know everyone's devastated as the Pistons lose third 0-3 after the break right now. But a rematch of the 05 NBA Finals, I know that it was on the front of all the players' minds, a little revenge for the Pistons. It wasn't to be. How did this one shake out?
Well, the Pistons did fall to 10-29 in their fourth straight loss. Is it their fourth straight loss? I pulled that up here.
Now, they beat the Raptors at this right before the break, but I think there might have been one more before the break that was a loss. That sounds right, straight loss.
Their fourth straight loss. I knew I'd done third straight loss. They're trying to avoid the third loss before the last game. It is their fourth straight loss. They were led by Josh Jackson off the bench, who had 15 on 6 of 13 shooting. The efficiency just wasn't really there for many people who were taking high-volume shots, except for Rodney Magruder, who scored 13 in a starting role tonight on 5 of 10 shooting, and fellow starter Jeremy Grant also had double digits with 14 as well.
15 points for your top scorer sounds a little Oakland Activities Athletic Conference, right? A little OAA high school, maybe Division III, maybe like Andover against Groves or something like that. Your leading scorer drops 15, but the three-point shooting is just for Wayne Ellington out in this one. Svi Mykhailiuk no longer with us. I guess he's with us on this earth, but no longer with the Detroit Pistons. 7 for 25 just ain't going to get it done.
No, it isn't. Although Isaiah Stewart down low was very active tonight, 10 points, 5 rebounds, and just a lot of the stuff wasn't showing up on the shot chart. He was 5 of 8 shooting from the floor, and you know, him and Josh Jackson seem to be really the two guys that tried to provide some energy and make something happen that just wasn't there. Frank Jackson also had a pretty good game in his chance in 18 minutes, getting 10 points as well.
Yeah, Plumlee was pretty good early. Jeremy Grant, until he got knocked down and missed the rest of the game. But it sounds like it's not that serious with the back. Probably should have been called a foul just because he's Jeremy Grant. He deserves those calls, and he got fouled. But it wasn't as bad as it looked in real time when you watch the replays, but still a scary moment for the Pistons.
Right, absolutely. They did have 10 players scored tonight, but that was topped by the 11 who scored for the San Antonio Spurs, led by DeJounte Murray with 19. Lonnie Walker the fourth at 11. Jakob Poeltl. It took me about
no
a half hour
in the name, but you gotta say Poeltl.
You gotta say it. 14 points, as well as Patty Mills had 14, Rudy Gay with 10, and first round draft pick Devin Vassell with 13 on 5 of 7 shooting, 3 of 4 from beyond the arc.
There are a lot of intriguing young to young-ish players on the San Antonio Spurs. You talk about Johnson, Derek White, and DeJounte Murray, Lonnie Walker, Vassell. Samanich is, I know he played garbage time, but there's just, you just look around and you're like, where's the guy, right? Where's the guy who's going to take this team? And it's like, the Spurs are fine. They're not like the Orlando Magic, what team we'll talk about a little bit later, that probably needs to blow it up and do rebuild part four or something like that. I'm not saying the Spurs are like there, but I'm also not saying that I love the direction that they're headed, especially considering they're in the Western Conference. So the bar is a lot higher of where they got to get to go.
It feels very Boston Celtics-y to me without the top-end talent of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Somebody else that will come up later in this episode for a reason that will be revealed later. But, yeah, the San Antonio Spurs, that you know, they just – they kind of lull you to sleep a little bit. There isn't, you know, you're not keyed in on anybody except for Pop's hair. That's getting a little wild on it.
I
think he's kind of gone, you know, he's always on Twitter, he's making comments, you know, very anti-Trump and all that stuff. It seems like he hasn't found a barbershop or they haven't reopened in his neighborhood in Texas because that lettuce is getting very long.
Yeah, unbelievable. That was probably the story of the game. I don't know why we didn't lead with Pop's hair. It's something. I mean, it doesn't look great. I don't know. I hope that when I get to Pop's age that there's people around me who say, you know, it's not the time to go with the Grateful Dead look or whatever he's going for.
It was very rock and roll. The Pistons did not cover the BetOnline 1-point spread. The under came in for the third time in a row, and the Pistons are going to be back in action at home on Wednesday at 7 o'clock against the Toronto Raptors. That will be on Fox Sports Detroit and 97.1 The Ticket.
And that'll be the game where they let in a bunch of fans. 750 fans will be the first time that we'll see that. So that's good news. Get your tickets. Fun team to go watch. And just getting back to live events like that. I've been to one game, I believe, and a hockey game or two since all this craziness. And it's fun. It's fun to get in there. Fun to check out some hoops. No good results around the NBA tonight in terms of the tank. But, you know, talking about the Spurs a little bit more, DeMar DeRozan obviously out with the death of his father recently, and then LaMarcus Aldridge is away from the team right now. So there is a chance that the Spurs hit a little bit of a reset. And I know, and here we are, here I am, like, dogging the Spurs in some ways, and I really don't mean that because I have nothing but respect for Greg Popovich and Buford and obviously the Tim Duncan era. Tim Duncan's one of my top five favorite players of all time. But here they sit, seventh place in the Eastern Conference Western Conference standings right now, in the play-in kind of range, but a couple of games from maybe getting up to the fifth spot or possibly getting up to home court. So they're doing just fine. Don't cry for the San Antonio Spurs. And they've done pretty well at the late in the first round, picking a lot of these guys that we mentioned. So, you know, still one of the model franchises in the NBA, but you do wonder what the future is for Popovich and Popovich's hair and what this roster is going to look like and what that hair is going to look like in the next couple years. And it's going to be one of the big questions about a team that you haven't really had questions about for decades and decades. So less about the Spurs, more about the Pistons in a little bit. As we're talking trade rumors, I know we love to chop it up. Some big names connected to the Pistons and some interesting reports out there. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first, rockauto.com, it's a family business. It's serving auto parts customers online for 20 years and been a proud and loyal sponsor to Locked On Pistons for a little bit less than that, but also a long time as well. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything you need from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your ride. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and the prices that you prefer. Best of all, it's those prices at RockAuto.com. They're always reliably low, and the same for the pros as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Yes, sir!
Betting on the Pistons doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.
Brother Brian joining myself, host Matt Shook, here on a Tuesday as we're doing kind of the live recap of games, looking ahead to the trade deadline on March 25th, and Brian's going to fill us in on the new Piston a little bit later too, but let's give the rundown. Let's start small with a rumor that's really not all that juicy, and that's from Shams Charania of The Athletic today, saying the Pistons have sought a second-round pick in conversations involving Wayne Ellington, sources said. So nothing surprising there. Looking around the league, looking at some of the tax situations that are out there for some of the contenders, and Wayne Ellington on a minimum contract with a skill that every team needs, it seems like the Pistons should be able to get a second-round pick for Wayne Ellington as opposed to a buyout and not getting anything for him. Now, will that be an unprotected or a second-round pick that is projected to be in the top half of the second round? I don't know. Obviously, Troy Weaver's looking to maximize that asset as much as possible. Now, I can remember saying the same things about Markieff Morris going into the trade deadline last year and being disappointed about how that didn't work out. Langston Galloway was another shooter that we thought could be on the move. That didn't work out as well. So maybe we're going to get three strikes here. But, you know, you're looking at the LA Lakers. You're looking at the Washington Wizards are a team that's popping up. James Edwards, by the way, a friend of the show, friend of all of ours, happy belated birthday to James, had a nice article where he threw out scenarios to the different Athletic beat writers, and they seem pretty favorable, especially on packages involving Wayne Ellington. So it sounds like Wayne Ellington could be what the doctor ordered for a lot of teams out there, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, shooting is just the name of the game in the NBA, and I know it gets simplified it being a make it or break it league, but I mean it really is. And him shooting over 40% from three is going to be valuable at any era in the NBA for any team. Most likely, obviously, coming off the bench to any contender he might go to. But you know, as hot as he can get, and as hot as he's gone through stretches this season, that's going to be just an absolute gift for some team in the playoffs or wherever, you know, down the stretch he's able to hopefully get that heated up. And it also allows the Pistons to have games like tonight where they're just going to be outmatched and you know, in the shooting. You know, we talk about how bad the three-point shooting was tonight. This is not a good shooting team. Then you take Wayne Ellington off of it and it becomes a horrible shooting team, as we saw tonight. So, you know, yeah, his skill set's going to be valuable to just about anybody who's looking for somebody who can shoot 40% from beyond the arc.
Another thing that Wayne has going for him is he's been traded a lot. So he's a guy who knows all the players around the league. He's well thought of around the league. And he has shown that he can adjust to new situations very quickly. He's a guy who's going to seamlessly fit in and be nice insurance and maybe pop into rotations in specialized situations as well. So, again, not expecting anything more than a second-round pick. But what would be interesting to see if a team needs to match some salary or maybe you take on someone that they need to clear out, and then maybe that drives up the asset that you could get. Or the player themselves could be an asset in maybe a young player that the team is getting rid of. Or maybe it goes the other way and the Pistons, you know, they got two decent second-round picks going into next year, not a lot of roster spots. Maybe they package Wayne and one of those nice seconds and get into the end of the first round with one of these contenders that are obviously naturally in the bottom of the first round too. So there are some possibilities there for not just a boring Wayne for a protected second round pick, or the worst of three second round picks, you know, those conditional deals that we see this time of year. The next bit of juiciness will go up to juiciness number two, and that's from John Hollinger of The Athletic, who it's talking more offseason. It's not really about the trade deadline, but we'll cheat here, and he kind of throws out a name that's an interesting one, talking about how he's observing that Troy Weaver is sticking with players that he's familiar with. The Syracuse connection with Jeremy Grant, Isaiah Stewart coming from a guy that he coached with, and now Hopkins went to coach at Washington and coached Isaiah Stewart in his 1 year there. And Hollinger's opining about how the Mykhailiuk for Diallo trade makes it so the Pistons will have more cap flexibility, because now that Diallo's in-house, if they re-sign him, that would be after any free agency moves are made. So that cap room and that hold will be smaller than if it was if they were trying to do some other machination with it. So it's a move that kind of helps the Pistons' flexibility on the open market. And Hollinger, it's hard to say because you don't know what the pick's going to be and how much money the first-round pick's going to be making for the Pistons at this point. But if they have about $12 million of cap room, which could be right around that mark, Hollinger says that Troy Weaver could go possibly for a D.C. guy, as Weaver is also from D.C., and throwing out the name Josh Hart of the New Orleans Pelicans, who's a guy who I've always liked, going as low as he did in the draft. You love those college winners. And he's just shown himself to, in my mind, be an underutilized player in a lot of situations. You know, at the beginning of his career with the Lakers, when they weren't doing any winning, he gets traded to the Pelicans. They haven't really taken that next step. They've got like a weird logjam, a weird roster, right, where they're young, but they're not that young. They've got two alphas type of scorers in Ingram and Zion, and Zion seems to be the better player, but Ingram is getting the most touches, and just a weird situation all in all. So kind of a jack-of-all-trades bench player like Josh Hart doesn't really fit in, because then you got to compete with minutes for some young guys and some veterans like Redick and Alexander Walker and those. What do you think about Josh Hart coming to Detroit in free agency this next offseason?
I've liked Josh Hart. Right now, Josh, I'm just pulling him up right now. Josh Hart is shooting, well, he's 33% from three. So, I mean, it's serviceable. It's not great. But where he makes his bones is on the defensive end. And a team like New Orleans, who is up and down the court as much as they are, they probably don't put a premium on that. And if I've been watching their box scores a lot, just because I check up on my boy Kyra every once in a while. Right. They only go about 8 or 9 deep a lot of games. So, you know, when you're talking about that logjam in the backcourt, when you're talking about Lonzo Ball, Eric Bledsoe, Josh Hart, J.J. Redick, Alexander Walker, Kyra Lewis, there's just, you know, and you're only planning on going 7, 8, 9 deep like Stan does, then, you know, it just seems like you're right. He's the odd man out. But, you know, kind of to get back to the point about stockpiling these picks, I kind of like your idea of Wayne Ellington plus a second to maybe move in, because as I referenced last segment about San Antonio having that kind of Boston feel, and then I look at the same thing kind of happening in Oklahoma City, is you stockpile all these picks, but at the end of the day, you still need that star player. And if you're stockpiling second round and late first round picks, that necessarily doesn't happen, and you just keep limiting roster space and roster space down to being forced to make moves like the Boston Celtics had to, because they just didn't have roster spaces for all the picks they had going into last year's draft, I believe it was. So, you know, you kind of get yourself behind the eight ball if you get too much of that and putting too much value in some of these later picks. So I would like to see them starting to, you know, instead of just getting picks for some of these players, being able to couple some of this together to improve the picks they have, or use the picks they have to get players that they hope are in the rotation. Now, Josh Hart is somebody that I think can be in the rotation. So if you're going to give up an asset, whether it's a player or a pick or something, to bring Josh Hart in the offseason, that I can get behind, because that's a roster spot that I think would be valuable. He seems to have that Detroit mentality where he makes his bones on the defensive end. And he's, you know, he's a serviceable offensive threat as well. So he seems to have kind of that off-the-bench Piston DNA in some of those championship iterations of the Detroit Pistons teams.
Yeah, I agree. And you bring in Diallo, assuming that he comes back and he's part of the long-term plans next year. Now, if you trade a DeLon Wright in the next couple weeks, if you trade a Josh Jackson in the next couple weeks, and I haven't heard much about Josh Jackson, so I'm not expecting that to happen, but sometimes the things that are you least expect are the ones that happen. We know that from Stan Van Gundy and Blake Griffin, and then basically all the Troy Weaver moves. No one saw any of that stuff coming. So maybe these things we're hearing about are things that were kicked around and just are certainly not going to happen at this point. And that leads me to the juiciest rumor of the day for the Detroit Pistons, and that's from Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, linking one Aaron Gordon of the Orlando Magic to teams such as the Denver Nuggets, Houston Rockets, and your Detroit Pistons for trading the versatile high flyer. The Orlando Magic value Gordon and are said to have a substantial price tag attached to his availability. That's kind of a shocker, Brian. You don't know what to expect or what to believe this type of season, if whether Orlando's throwing names out there to drive price or the Pistons, you know, Troy Weaver should be checking in on guys, especially guys he likes. $16 million due next season, so expires after next year. Got to find some salary match there. They're going to want some assets. I'm thinking at least one first-round pick. Certainly don't want it to be this year's first-round pick, but maybe down the road you kick that can somewhere. Aaron Gordon, your thoughts?
I don't like this one. I do if, you know, this is going to sound weird, but if it's a one-year rental, because as I kind of alluded to in my last answer was you need to find those stars. And I guess Aaron Gordon would be kind of the closest thing that, you know, to a star that's been linked to Detroit.
Orlando's
here.
Been waiting for it. Yeah. Right. You know, I mean, not that's the dump on Aaron Gordon. He's a fine player, but maybe he hasn't gotten to that level you need.
Right. And I think if you're the Detroit Pistons right now, and I'm looking at the 3 years coming up here, I know I'm going to, well, I expect to have a top five draft pick this year in a very heavily talented top end of this draft. So I think the course your franchise needs to take, you're going to find out in this year's draft. And making moves right now for players of Aaron Gordon's stature that's going to come in here, get paid a lot, going to want touches on the ball, and then you're going to couple him with Jeremy Grant, who's getting better and better, but still will demand touches with the ball. You know, and both of them should get touches on the ball. They're very talented offensive players. But if you're going to bring in somebody like Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Kuminga, Green, any of those guys, Mobley, then you've got to make sure you have spots for them and touches for them. And once you know who that person is, once 2021 number one draft pick gets slotted with an actual name, I think then you can start building your franchise with the direction you're going, whether that's a center like Mobley, whether that's a point guard like Suggs, whether that's a combo guard like Cade. That'll answer a lot more questions, and you don't have to give up any assets for that, obviously. Once you make that trade, then I'd be a lot more, or once you make that draft pick, I'd be a lot more open to listening to trades like this, because the puzzle pieces will be a little bit more clear. And right now, I just think you're, with Aaron Gordon, it seems like one of those things that that Stan did with Blake. We need to bring in a ticket seller or a potential superstar to, I'm not saying that Troy Weaver's obviously trying to save his job, but this deal just sounds a lot like that. And if you bring him in, then you're obviously going to try to re-sign him, depending, you know, if you're giving up significant assets. And then you've kind of just pigeonholed yourself again into a big contract, to a big question mark. And if it doesn't work out, you've set the franchise back a year or two. And like you said, not to you know, pile on Aaron Gordon, because he is a fine player, but that's what he is. He's a fine player. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't develop into a great, you know, a great player, then, you know, somebody of his talent level, as you're moving along the process of rebuilding this team, will become available to you again, whether through the $40 million plus you're going to have in free agency in two off seasons, whether another trade, whether it's the same Aaron Gordon in a year from now, somebody like this will be available, and it will be a little less chaotic, I think, when trying to fit them in, because you'll know exactly what you're, or at least have a better idea of what you're looking for a year from now.
You know, I totally agree with you. It seems like a little bit of irresponsibly moving forward on something that doesn't need to be moved this forward. But I'll say one thing I like about it. Well, there's a lot of things I like about it because he's a fine player and it'd be fun to watch as well. But one thing I do like about it is that Troy Weaver is calling the Orlando Magic in particular, because I feel like and not that there's like assets that they have that we necessarily really want as a Detroit Pistons team, but for so many years, the Pistons have been this team that's been threading the needle, trying to get to the playoffs, trying to get a little bit better at the trade deadline, or maybe trying to do a little bit of a mini sell. Those are the marks this time of year. Those are the teams that like you can really get run through the ringer in a trade. And Orlando, like, they're kind of a desperate situation, and I know that might be overselling it because it's not a terrible team, but like, again, they might have to reset the clock. Vucevic might get traded. I mean, I don't think it's a huge expectation of that, but Gordon sounds like he's going to probably be on the move here. Find those desperate teams that have kind of nothing going for them right now and see if you can get some value on a guy like Aaron Gordon. Maybe he gets flipped, you know, this offseason, or maybe it's a three-teamer that the Pistons are throwing contracts in and collecting assets on the other way around. Maybe that's it. Maybe Weaver's just facilitating and checking in, and or maybe seeing if he can get a distressed asset on a guy that they're giving up on. But, yeah, I just like one of the many reasons that it's nice to be in the direction of having a direction for Weaver and the Pistons right now is that you can call up some of these teams that are more desperate because you are not desperate, and you can make deals for guys you want, or you can make those conversations. And that's a good thing, I think, for this franchise. It's a good position to be in this time of year. But speaking of good positions to be in, a new Piston coming in for 10 days to show the Dwayne Casey and his coaching staff what he's got. Brian's going to tell us all about him. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But first,
Brother Brian here, and three unders in a row for the Pistons. They're really making a habit out of taking the under. But BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Well, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. And today, we've got peanut butter brownie taking on coconut almond. This is a tough one. This is really a tough one. And actually, I'm going to go with the team that got the bye, coconut almond over peanut butter brownie. Coconut almond takes me back to living in the Caribbean, living in those kind of times down there. Love the coconut. Peanut butter brownie, I don't know. That's just a lot. That's just like a lot of it's too rich is what I'm trying to say. Coconut almond is my choice in that one, but you've probably got your own choices and you need to go have your voice be heard. Go to builtbar.com or to bar_built on Twitter. Let your voice be heard. And remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchups and who will become the best tasting protein bar in the world. Increasing your basketball IQ starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger, who we just talked about on this show, joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you the most in-depth scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today, wherever you get your podcast. Brother Brian has the details on a man who is going to be spending at least the next week and a half as a member of the Detroit Pistons.
And you're talking about 23-year-old Tyler Cook. He's a 6'8", 255-pound power forward. He's from the St. Louis area. He went to Chaminade College Prep School alongside one Jason Tatum. and the two as seniors kind of combined to win a state title there. Cook ended up going to Iowa, where he was a freshman starter. He only played 3 years there as he left after his junior year and hired an agent, but then went undrafted in 2019. He's kind of bounced around with the Cleveland Cavaliers, Oklahoma City, Denver, and then their G League representative teams. Really made a name for himself in the bubble this year, in the G League bubble, averaging 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists for the Iowa Wolves, Minnesota's G League team, which earned him a 10-day contract with Brooklyn here in the end of February. Only got into about 4 games there, only scored 2 points for him, so they didn't renew him, and that allowed him to become a Detroit Piston. So welcome to the Detroit Pistons, Tyler Cook. Have a good week and a half, and let's see what this turns into.
Yeah, let's roll out the balls and see what happens. But we talked before recording, Blake Griffin probably took his roster spot, and now he comes and takes Blake Griffin's roster spot. So I guess we did make a trade for Blake Griffin. So you just got traded for Blake Griffin, Tyler Cook. It's a nice place to start. But you mentioned Chaminade. That is a powerhouse in Missouri. That's think Country Day when you think Chaminade for your Detroit counterpart there. Bradley Beal also went to Chaminade. So some pretty good players out of Chaminade there in St. Louis area. So Tyler Cook, we'll see. I understand there's some big highlights out there, another athletic guy. So he wouldn't be a Troy Weaver pickup if you didn't show some athleticism. So add him to the list of players. And, of course, Diallo, we'll see if he gets in soon as well. And you wonder about Cook. It's a 10-day contract, and the deadline is in about 10 days. We've heard murmurs about this possibility happening where you give a guy a look for 10 days, and maybe this is with the idea that you bring him into Grand Rapids next year, or I guess the Motor City Drive next year, the G League team for the Pistons, or something like that, or maybe you see if you got a Christian Wood type of project. So if it's a 10-day deal, maybe another 10-day deal after that, or, of course, there's the possibility that the Pistons could net more players at the trade deadline, and Tyler's roster spot will end right at that time at about the trade deadline. So he's got 10 days to see what he can prove. Always fun to see these guys get into some NBA action, and hopefully it works out well for him and the Pistons, and maybe he can stick around for the whole year and bring him back next season, and he can be the next Blake Griffin here for the Detroit Pistons. So no pressure to him, but glad to see a roster spot being filled and an NBA player getting that check. And hopefully things work out for all parties there. Any other thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, and one thing that is also consistent with a lot of Troy Weaver pickups is he is a little undersized, a power forward. It was reported by Shams, I believe, as a center as well. At 6'8", he does have a over 7-foot wingspan, which is pretty common with a lot of Troy Weaver guys. Something that's unlike Blake Griffin, though, is his 10-day contract with the Pistons will pay him slightly over $99,000. I think Blake Griffin makes that in about 3 minutes and 66 seconds, or 3 minutes and 6 seconds.
That was his security deposit for the house in Franklin, I think. He doesn't roll out of bed for $99,000, so nothing there. But anyway, hey, good luck to Tyler, and we'll talk to y'all tomorrow. We've got looking ahead to the Raptors at home. There'll be some fans in the house. If you're one of those fans, reach out to us. Let us know what it's like on Wednesday night at Little Caesars Arena. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons Now. Tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.